Okay, great. So what I wanted to speak about this evening is Shavuos, but Shavuos not the way we usually look at it, but Shavuos as the birthday of, not David HaMelech, although that's also true, but Shavuos as the birthday of the Yetzer Hara. What do I mean by that? Give me a few minutes and I'll tell you what I mean. So let's move back a few weeks. You know, we're coming to the end of a seven-week cycle of the Shiva Shavuos Isporlach Me'achel Charmesh Bakma from the beginning of Pesach. And on Pesach, of course, the most outstanding mitzvah that we are confronted with is the fact that there's an Isser of Chametz, an Isser of Chametz in every respect, an Isser of Achilas Chametz, an Isser of owning Chametz, an Isser of prohibition of deriving benefit from Chametz. Chametz is Aser, Aser, Aser. Interesting to note that even though on Pesach, you and I think about Chametz because we have to get rid of it and we have to clean our houses, but when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash and bringing Karbanos, Chametz is actually prohibited all year long, not just on Pesach. So permit me, if I may, to share my screen. Give me a minute just as I adjust the screens. Hold on. Okay. Just adjusting my screen. There we go. So you are shared on my screen. And there's a pasuk that talks about, pasuk in Vayikra, talks about the mitzvah of Karbanos all year long. And if you look right here as I highlighted for you, Lo se'afre chametz. Chametz is not allowed to be baked when it's brought as the Karban Mincha for the Karbanos that we bring all year long. With one exception, a few psukim after this Karban, where it talks about the prohibition of bringing Chametz Karbanos all year long, the pasuk in Parashas Tzav gets to speak about Shavuos. And when it arrives at Shavuos, the Torah says the following. Ad mimachras ha-shabbos ha-shviyas tisruch ha-mimshim yom. Of course, we count Sfira. Tonight was 47. If you haven't counted yet, you could count now, 47 days of the Omer. Two more, and we get to 49. And then finally, after the 49th day, on the 50th day on Shavuos, we're going to bring a mincha chadasha la-Hashem. And what is going to be the ingredients of that mincha chadasha? What kind of korban are we going to bring? What kind of korban mincha are we going to bring on Shavuos? Says the Pasuk Yitzayin, Lechem Tnuf Ashtayim, you should bring two breads that you lift up, you wave. What are they made out of? They're made out of solas, out of fine flour, not important for us, but what's important for us is those two bolded letters, Chametz Teofena. They are supposed to be baked of Chametz, specifically. How fascinating is that? All year long, you're not allowed to have any korban of Chametz, except once a year, except on Shavuos and only on Shavuos. Now that makes me wonder, is there any correlation between Pesach and Shavuos? That on Pesach I'm not allowed to have Chametz and on Shavuos I am allowed to have Chametz? But that, you know, I said that Pesach is not unique about not having Chametz because that's just an issue of Chametz in our homes. But on the Mizbeach, in the Beis HaMikdash, you're never allowed to have Chametz brought as a Karban. Even though they would bring cakes and challahs all year long, they would bring todas, and they would bring all kinds of different korbanos all years long. There was lots and lots of matzah. Well, actually, toda might be an exception without getting into toda. The only time that we really would bring this korban of chametz would be on Shavuos. Why is that? Why is that so? Why is Shavuos so different? So I'd like to share with you a thought that the Maharal sets forth in his Sefer Tiferes Yisrael. But before we see the Maharal, perhaps inside, maybe we'll see it inside for a moment, but I'd like to learn a very beautiful Gemara that you might be familiar with, might not. But the Gemara's message is a powerful message, certainly a powerful message to prepare for Shavuos. The Gemara in Kedushin teaches the following. V'samtam, right? We say in Tefillin, we say in Kriya Shema, V'samtam, Estvarai El Alev Avchem. V'samtam, says the Gemara, plays a little bit of an alliteration kind of game, a little word game. V'samtam, we could see that word as samtam, the perfect potion. Sam is a potion, sam is like a medicine or a potion. Tam, perfect, complete, the perfect medicine. You know, like in the ancient years, we would try to discover the fountain of youth or some kind of panacea, some kind of magical potion that would grant light, grant eternal life. Well, tells us the Gemara, v'samtam, v'samtam, it's the perfect potion. Nimshala Torah Kisam Chayim. And then the Gemara gives a very beautiful illustration or story or anecdote to describe in what way Torah could be compared to a potion of life. And the Gemara, I'll tell you the story outside if you want to read inside. You're welcome to imagine a father, you know, whacks their child, beats their kid a terrible beating. And then afterwards gives the kid a big bandage, you know, wraps them up and puts the bandage on, puts a cast on. And he tells his son, okay, as long as you have this bandage on you to protect your wound, you'll be fine. You have the splint on, you have the cast on, you could do anything you want. You could play ball, you could eat what you want, you could drink what you want, you could take a shower, cold water, hot water, nothing to worry about. However, if you take off this bandage, if you take off this splint, if you remove this cast, then it's not gonna heal well. It's gonna be your arm will be ruined, your leg will be ruined, whatever. There'll be a scab, there'll be a scar. You're gonna not be able to recover properly. Says the Gemara Kedushin, you know who the father is? The father is Hashem. And you know what that slap that he slapped us with? He slapped us with the Yetzer Hara. But you know what he did after he slapped us with the Yetzer Hara? He also bandaged us up with Torah. And Torah is that protective force that enables us to withstand the clutches of the Yetzer Hara. As the Chazal say beautifully, Amar lehem li Yisrael banai, barasi Yetzer Hara varasi lo Torah tavlin. You might have heard that phrase. Im atem oskim batorah, if you involve yourselves with Torah, you're fine, nothing to worry about, you're in good shape, you're in good hands. Ein atem nimsar biyad, you won't fall into the clutches of the Yetzer Hara. On the other hand, inversely, im ein atem oskim batorah, then I'm warning you, you better be careful. Atem nimsar biyad, you'll be handed over to the clutches, to the hands of that Yetzer Hara. And so Torah is, in a certain sense, the antidote, the panacea. Going back to the very first words of this Gemara, Visam Tam, it's that potion of life that Hashem grants us, protects us with, gives us to protect ourselves from the Yetzer Hara. So the way we usually approach a Gemara like this Gemara specifically, and any Gemara like this, is that we have, you know, the part of the human condition is that we're afflicted with the Yetzer Hara, we're pulled, we're tempted, we're distracted by the Yetzer Hara. But don't worry, we have a way out. We have a way to protect ourselves. We have a way to insulate ourselves. And that's the koach, the magical power of the Torah and the kedusha that the Torah has latent within it. That's how we usually look at this Gemara. Comes the Maharal in Tiferes Yisrael and says, no, 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 you're looking at this story entirely, entirely wrong. You have the whole picture upside down. To the contrary. Says the Maharal, it's not that I have a problem called the Yetzer Hara and we have a solution called Torah. It's the exact opposite. If I didn't have Torah, there would be no Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara cannot stand on its own. Because if I just had a Yetzer Hara without Torah, you know what? It would be impossible to withstand. And if it would be impossible to withstand, listen to this point because it's a subtle point, if the Yetzer Hara was 100% able to be victorious in every encounter it would encounter with us, because we can't withstand it absent if we don't have the Yetzer Hara, if we don't have Torah, then there's no point in the Yetzer Hara exercising any dominion over us. Because if we can't withstand him, there's no point, there's no temptation, there's no nisayon, there's no bechira, there's no test, because there's no way to withstand the Yetzer Hara's urges and temptations. The only way there can be any power to the Yetzer Hara, says the Maharal, is only if there is Torah. And Torah gives us that moral compass, that perspective, that strength, that inner fortitude to possibly put up a fight and withstand the temptations of the Yetzer Hara. Oh, now all of a sudden, the Yetzer Hara can try to do his work. He could present himself and say, will you listen to me? Will you listen to the Torah? Will you listen to me? Will you listen to the Torah? And then we'll be pulled in the two directions that every human is pulled, as we all well know this human part, which is such a part of the human experience. Says the Maharal, you know what this means? This means that it's the Torah that allows the Yetzer Hara to exist. And you know how we see that? Let's see how the Maharal says this. I underline this. The Maharal quotes our Gemara where we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu smacks us as if a father would smack his child and then gives us the Yetzirah, I'm sorry, gives us the Torah to cure that smack, to cure that wound, to heal that wound. Im lo hoisa HaTorah, look at what the Maharal writes. Im lo hoisa HaTorah, if I didn't have the Torah, Shehiratil Yetzirah, which is a bandage to heal the Yetzirah, Shlo yuchal hotzi es adam chutz min haseder. The Yetzirah wouldn't have had, in the first place, the ability to pull us out of order and to make us do wrong, because there would be no wrong if there's no Torah tells us to do right. And if that's the case, the Yetzirah would be powerless. Lo hayanivra hayetzirah. There would be no point. If I didn't have Torah, there would be no point in having a Yetzirah, because the Yetzirah would be the indomitable foe, the impossible enemy. No human would be able to withstand the Yetzirah if we didn't have Torah. And therefore, the only thing that allows the Yetzirah to exist and to exercise his temptations and to exercise his power is the fact that we have the Torah. And yes, it ends up in the most ironic, counterintuitive way that Shavuos is indeed the birthday of the Yetzirah. Because only because we have Torah is the Yetzirah given any strength to try to pull us away from that Torah. That's what the Maharal puts forth. And I'd like to build on that idea and take it perhaps a step further. Now, before that, the Maharal says we can now understand the Gemara that we started with. You remember we started with wondering why is it that on Shavuos we have to have chametz? What is it uniquely about Shavuos? You're not allowed to have chametz in any karban, and then all of a sudden on Shavuos you have to have chametz. Well, we know what the chametz represents. We know what the chametz represents. The chametz represents, on some level, let's see it inside, the Gemara Brachas tells us, different Amoraim, when they would conclude the Shemona Esrei, they would add different tefillos at the end of their Shemona Esrei. In the same place where we say, Elokai Netzor L'Shani Meiros Asai Midab Ir Mirma, right after Hamavarecha Samo Yisrael Bashalom, different Amoraim had different additions, just like we have that addition. Different Amoraim are recorded with different additions. Well, Rabbi Alexandri had the following addition that he would add after he finished his Shemona Esrei. Ribon HaOlamim, he would ask Hashem, Goli v'yadua lefanecha, you know full well, dear God. How often do we say this in our heart of hearts? Goli v'yadua lefanecha shiritzoneinu la'asos tzoncha. Hashem, you know I just want to do the right thing. Hashem, you know I just want to do what you want me to do. But, umima akev, soa shebe'isa v'shibut malchis. It's that yetzer hara. Soa shebe'isa means what? That yeast in the dough. That yeast that puffs up, that makes things that are meaningless puffed up, just like yeast. You know, the enzymes in the yeast puff up a dough, even though there's nothing there, it's just air, it's just filled with nothingness. That's exactly what the Yetzirah tries to do. It tries to take things that have nothingness, things that are meaningless, and just make them seem to the eye incredibly and tantalizing and delectable, even though there's nothing really there. And so, the Yetzirah, of course, this image, the Yetzirah and the concept of chametz is one and the same. That's why the idea of Pesach is to destroy on some level the Yetzirah. When we destroy the chametz from our midst as we clean for Pesach, that's in a symbolic way destroying the chametz from within ourselves. And now we can understand, says the Maharal, if Shavuos, and this is the punchline of this first part of the Shir, if Shavuos is that day that we got the Torah, so that the Yetzirah has some footing, it's the birthday in a sense of the Yetzirah. That's exactly why Shavuos is the day that we have to bring a korban of chametz, which represents the Yetzirah. Because it is specifically on Shavuos that the Yetzirah is born, is given its strength, is given its powers. And that's the reason why of all the Yamim Tovim, Shavuos and only Shavuos, is the day that we have a korban of chametz, because that's the day of the Yetzirah. That's the first piece that I'd like to share with you tonight. The second piece that I'd like to share with you is going to build on this concept a little bit more deeply. You see, it's not just that the Yetzer Hara was born or got its koach as we receive the Torah on Shavuos. It's much more than that. It's that the Yetzer Hara allows us to be mekabel Torah. And let me explain what I mean. Let's go for a moment on a tangent, and then we'll come back to where I want to finish this shiur with. Tangent is a story that's related. It's in blue because it's a tangent. Everything else is in black. So the story goes like this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the Torah on Har Sinai, of course, on Shavuos, and we mess up. And the luchos are broken, and the malachim rejoice. The malachim say, hey, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you see that them Jews, them human beings, don't deserve the Torah. We're very happy that the Jews did Avodah Zarah, they did Chet Egel, and now you could give the Torah back to us. The malachim didn't want to part with the Torah. They didn't want the Torah to be handed down to mortal humans, humans who are messy, and humans who could sully the Torah, the pristine Torah. They wanted to keep the Torah up in a pristine form, up in Shemayim, whatever that may or may not mean. So Moshe goes back up to Shemayim, and the Malachi Ashari see Moshe coming up a second time, and they say, Yo God, I don't know if they said Yo God, they say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't understand, I thought they messed up. They messed up on the first one of the Aseres Hadibros. The very first one was, Lo Yelcha Elohim Acherim. They messed up on it. And now you're giving them a second chance? Hashem, what in the world are you saying? Now, that's the backdrop for the story. We're going to see two answers of how Hashem responded to those malachim. The main one is going to be the theme of my second half of the shiur, but right now we're going to see the tangents answer. It's a medrash in Tehillim. And the answer is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to those malachim, you guys think that you're so sharp. You guys think that you do everything perfectly. Well, if you remember, when I sent the three malachim to Avram Avinu, do you remember what Avram Avinu served you guys? I don't know if it was the same malachim or not the same malachim. But either way, the pasuk says, Vayikachem ah, v'chalav min habakar, vayochlu. You ate butter, and you ate tongue when you malachim visited Avram Avinu. And look at the lashon of the Medrash, and Hashem continues retorting to those angels who are arguing to keep the Torah. V'tinok shalahem. You have a 6-year-old kid, you have a 4-year-old kid when he comes back from yeshiva and his mother gives him a piece of meat and a piece of cheese. What would he say? He's going to say, Mommy, I can't have a salami sandwich with cheese on top. Mommy, I can't have a chicken, and I can't have a cup of milk with my chicken sandwich. Mommy, we can't have milk and meat. And if that's what a 4-year-old Jewish child knows, you malachim didn't do. You ate milk and meat in the house of Avram Avinu when you were his guest. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides, because of that reason, I'm going to give the Torah, and that's his response to the Malachim, and he goes ahead and gives the Torah to the Jewish people. You get the point of this Medrash, right? You know what we learned from this Medrash. This Medrash is one of the numerous sources why we eat milchiks on Shavuos. Because to demonstrate the fact that we stay clear of milk and meat, not just that we stay clear of milk and meat, it was the very fact that Jews stay clear of basar b'chalav, of milk and meat, that made us acquire the Torah, and that we were able to get the Torah out of the hands of the Malachim to ourselves. It's that very point that lets us be zocha to Torah, and that's why on Shavuos, when we're zocha to this Torah, we specifically have milchika meals, so as not to get involved in the issues of milk and meat, because this is indeed our ticket, our license to be kona the Torah. Okay, that's just a side point. It's a beautiful medrash, and it explains our minhag to have milchika meals on Shavuos. I know some people do, some people don't. But now, let's go to the second half of the shiur, the last part of the shiur. And it starts with another chazal. Another chazal starts the discussion the same way, that Moshe goes up to Shemayim, and he greets the malachim up in Shemayim, and they say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what in the world is this human being doing among us? And Hashem says, it's almost like a comic strip, Hashem says, well, he came to get the Torah. And they say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have this incredible treasure. I don't know what this means, but I'll show you the words. The Malachim say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chemda Genuza, you have this precious, precious treasure that's hidden, that's buried, that for 974 generations before the creation of the world. What's the significance of 974? I don't know. I'm sure there are very deep secrets and wondrous mysteries that it relates to, and I wish I knew them, and I wish I could share them with you, but I don't. And they say, how in the world could you take this very precious Torah that predates the world by 974 generations, and you want to give it to a mortal man, to a human being, to this Moshe Rabbeinu guy? So, starting, that's the same way the previous Chazal started, and Moshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to Moshe and says, okay, Moshe, give them an answer. What do you respond? How do you respond, right? These Malachim have a good claim, don't they? Look at what Moshe responds, and look at the last three words that we'll get to. Amar Lefanav, Moshe says to these Malachim, Ribono Shel Olam, what does it say in the Torah, pray tell? It says, I'll go through a bunch of things, there are a number of things. It says, don't do Avodah Zarah. Okay. What else does it say? It says, do you have other, and then he turns to the Malachim, do you have other gods that you have to be warned not to serve? And then it says, what else does it say in the Torah, Hashem? It says, oh, you have to keep Shabbos? My dear Malachim friends, do you work 6 days a week such that you need to keep Shabbos? And then what else does the Torah say in the Aseret HaDibros? It says that you shouldn't swear falsely in business? Well, my dear friends, Mr. Malachim, Rabbi Malachim, are you involved in business ventures that you have to be concerned about not swearing? What else does it say? Kabbat Esavicha V'Esimecha, my dear Malachim, do you have parents? What else does it say? Lo Sirtzach, Lo Signov, Lo Sinaf. Do you have any hatred between one another? Do you have any competition with one another? Do you have any... And finally, look at the last three words of Moshe's response to these Malachim. Yetzer hara yesh bachem. That was what Moshe Rabbeinu's point was. Yetzer hara yesh bachem. Do you have a Yetzer hara, dear Malachim? You don't have a Yetzer hara, and therefore, Torah is not for you. And immediately, when Moshe gave that response, look at HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, not just his reaction, but his immediate reaction. Miyad, immediately. What does that word show? That word shows that what he's about to, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is about to do is an immediate response to the words that precede it. Miyad, immediately. Once Moshe said, do you have a Yetzirah, my dear Malachim? Immediately Hashem responds, Hodu lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Malachim withdrew their claims, they stood back and they said, yes, Hashem, you're right. The human condition, the mortal man deserves Torah. It's not for us. Clearly, what was happening in this conversation, clearly what Moshe Rabbeinu was arguing, to teach not just the Malachim a lesson, but really to teach us a lesson. Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching us that the point of Torah is to be in the dominion of those of us who have a Yetzirah, are afflicted with Yetzirah, although the Malachim perhaps want the divine wisdom of the Torah, but the challenges, the ups, the downs, the nisyonos that we face, that's something that Hashem wants us, that's where the real Kvod Shamayim is for a human being to be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu even with the challenges of the Yetzirah. And that's what Hashem wants. If that's the case, we could understand much more deeply that it's not just that Shavuos is the birthday of the Yetzirah. It's that what is the claim that a Jew has to be Kona the Torah? The claim that a Jew has to be Kona the Torah is none other than what? Then, I have a Yetzirah. I have a Yetzirah. Because I have a Yetzirah, it's that and it's only that that makes us, as opposed to the Malachim, worthy of receiving the Torah. And that on a deeper level is another layer, another dimension in understanding that question that we began with this evening. We asked at the beginning of the evening, why is it that on Shavuos and only on Shavuos we have a korban of chametz, we have a korban that represents the Yetzirah? The answer is, not just like we said 10 minutes earlier, that the Yetzirah was born on Shavuos, that the Yetzirah only has a kiyum when there's a Torah to come to do battle it, but now we're saying that it's much deeper. The reason why we have specifically Chametz on Shavuos, why we have that which represents the Yetzirah on Shavuos specifically, because on Shavuos, we were Kona the Torah for one reason, and one reason alone, and that is because we have a Yetzer Hara. Our Yetzer Hara is our license, is our ticket to be Kone the Torah. It's only because we have a Yetzer Hara that we could indeed be Kone Torah in the very first place. And with this understanding, I think we could come to understand a fascinating Rambam. Do I have the Rambam here? I don't have the Rambam here. Okay, I don't have the Rambam here. The Rambam says something interesting. The Rambam says that when a person brings karbanos, there are different karbanos that a person brings. And of the karbanos tzibur, all the karbanos tzibur are an ola, or a chatas. None of them are a shlamim. What's the difference between an ola and a shlamim? Well, a karban ola, as the word indicates, ola, it all goes up. The entire animal is burnt up to Hashem. Shlamim, which there are no karbanos tzibur, none of the communal offerings are shlamim. So what does the word shlamim mean? A karban shlamim is a karban that is like the word indicates, shalim. It brings shalom to the owners, get a little bit, the kohanim eat a little bit is burnt on the mizbeach for Hashem. But when it comes to karbanos tzibur, they are all olas, or chatas, as the Rambam tells us, with one exception. Once a year, there's a karban tzibur that is a karban shlamim, where a little bit is eaten by all the participants, even by the kohanim, and even by the humans, not just by Hashem, kivayachol. And that is, once a year, the two sheep that are brought with the chametz on Shavuos. That's the only time that we have ever a karban tzibur that is a shlamim. That's the only time that a karban tzibur, a communal karban, is eaten by people. Why? Why on Shavuos? Is that the only time the entire year that the karban tzibur could be eaten by people? And the answer is because what is specifically the way we were kona, we were acquired the Torah on Shavuos? It's specifically the fact that we are human. That we have a Yetzirah, that we like steak. It's very specifically that koach that we have. Sometimes we think of it as a weakness. Sometimes we think of it as a frailty. But it's specifically those weaknesses and those frailties that make us worthy to accept the Torah. That's the reason, suggests the Maharal, why we specifically have the korban of the korban shlamim as part of our Korban HaTzibur, only on Shavuos. And with that, we could also understand a very troubling, or maybe not troubling, Pasuk. The Pasuk says, after Matan Torah, something incredible. Something incredible. Vayechezu es Elokim, the Jewish people perceived Hashem. They saw Hashem in the most vivid, in the most real perspective and perception that human being can perceive Hashem. And their response, vayochlu vayishtu. Now, if you look at Rashi on that pasuk, Rashi says, that was a terrible thing. You have the most exalted spiritual experience that a human can encounter, and you start drinking a beer, and you pop off the cap of the beer, and you eat a hot dog and a hamburger? Says Rabban, no. When we are mekabel the Torah, what do? A Jew parties when we're mekabel the Torah. Just like it says later on, when they wrote the Torah on the stones in the Yarden for Bnei Yisrael to learn Torah, v'zavachta shlamim v'achalta sham, eating shlamim is that demonstration of receiving the Torah. And that dovetails with the point that I just made from the Rambam, that specifically on Shavuos, we eat the Karban Shlamim, we bring the Karban Shlamim, because the Karban Shlamim represents not just accepting the Torah, not just partying, not just celebrating the fact that we have food, but demonstrating that the reason we are zocha to Torah is because of that human condition called the Yetzer Hara, the human condition called the fact that we like to eat, the human condition called the fact that we like barbecues. That's why we got the Torah. And I'd like to finish off with one last point that echoes the same theme that we've been saying all along. And this, with this we'll finish. There is a stira, there's a contradiction in Psukim. One pasuk says, I'll highlight it for you on the screen, describing Yontif, Atzeres LaShem Elokecha, that Yontif is to be a day of consecration, a day of gathering together, LaShem Elokecha, for Hashem's sake. There's another pasuk that says, Atzeres Tielachem. You should have a day of gathering, a day of celebration, a day of consecration. Lachem, for you. So asks the Gemara, there's a contradiction. How do we resolve the contradiction? One pasuk says Yantar should be a day for Hashem, one pasuk says it should be a day for you. So Chazal say there are two ways to resolve this contradiction. Rabbi Eliezer's solution is, every Jew has the choice to choose how to dedicate, how to celebrate their Yontif. You could choose to celebrate either Kulal Hashem or Kulal Lachem, a day completely designated to serve Hashem, davening, learning, or you could serve Hashem completely partying, enjoying the world, and that is the mitzvah of Yontif. That's one opinion. There's another opinion. The other opinion is how we hold. Rabbi Yeshua says, Chalkeyu, split the day. Chetzio Hashem, Chetzio Lachem. Split the day half and half. Go to shul in the morning, then go eat lunch, then take a nap, then go to shul in the afternoon, learn a little bit more, eat, go daven marv, eat a little bit more, go home, learn a little bit, you know, back and forth, back and forth. We learn, we daven, we eat, we learn, we daven, we sleep. That's what the Gemara says. However, the Gemara concludes with something that's very, very, very counterintuitive, maybe even, you know, I would think the absolute opposite. The Gemara concludes and says that even if you choose, like that first opinion who says that you could choose however you want to celebrate Yontif, even if you choose that I want my Yontif to be celebrated, Kulol Hashem, to be completely consecrated to serving Hashem, to davening, to learning all Yontif long, but everyone agrees that on Shavuos, that doesn't work. You can't do that on Shavuos. Kulei al hakol molim ba'atzeres. Everyone agrees that on Atzeres, that on Shavuos, you have to have some lachem, some cheesecake, some steak, some delicious food, some pleasure, some human pleasure on Shavuos. What? I don't understand. Shavuos is the day we got the Torah, right? So you should say that even if you hold that you want to party all the day long, but on Shavuos you have to learn a little Torah. Right? Look what the Gemara concludes. My time, why do you have to eat on Shavuos? Even if you want to celebrate your Yontif entirely for Hashem? Because it's the day that we got the Torah. What? It's the day we got the Torah? That's why I should eat? If anything, it's the day that we got the Torah. We shouldn't eat, we should learn Torah. So one of my rabbis once pointed out the Rif, his version of this Gemara has one extra word, and with this we're going to come full circle. The Rif says, he quotes this Gemara that says that everyone agrees that on Shavuos you have to eat a little bit, b'ina nami lechem, you have to have lechem. You know why? Not just because Torah was given, but d'yom shenitna bo Torah li Yisrael hu. Shavuos is the day that the Torah was not given, was given to B'nai Yisrael, as opposed to, as we saw in the previous two Chazals, as opposed to the Malachim. Yes, the Malachim, they're holy spiritual beings, and they wanted the Torah, they wanted the divine wisdom, the intellectual, incredible wisdom that the Torah has in it. But that's not what Hashem wants. Hashem didn't want to give it to the Malachim. Hashem wanted to give it to us. You know why? Because we eat, because we drink, because we appreciate cheesecake, because we enjoy a good steak, as long as it's medium well done. And that's why Hashem wants to give us the Torah. Because when Hashem gives us the Torah, we, us, you, and myself, and Jewish people have the capacity to inject HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kedusha into a world of physicality. And that's something that a malach, as great as any malach may or may not be, can never do, because they don't exist in the realm of physicality. But you and I, as Jews, as human beings, who live in a physical world, can serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, can eat a Yontif meal, can eat a Korban Shlamim, can eat a slice of cheesecake to fulfill the mitzvah of Lachem, of celebrating Yontif Lachem, and we can inject Kedusha not only into a Korban Shlamim, not only into a piece of meat, but into a cheesecake, into a cup of wine, into a slice of cake, and therefore into blintzes also, I guess. I guess somewhere in the cheese in the middle, there's a little kedusha that we injected as well. And that's the point of what Shavuos is all about. Shavuos is our day of celebrating that we are human. We are not malach, and we are human. And it's not a weakness. The fact that we have desires and temptations is not our weakness. It's to the contrary. Adaraba. It is that temptation that the Yetzirah presents to us that makes us be worthy of accepting the Torah. That makes us be the ones who deserve the Torah, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to see Torah be kept by you and I, by the frailness of the humans who are pulled in different directions and still make good choices and still want to serve Him. And therefore, it's my bracha to myself, to my bracha to each and every one of you, that we should be zoche to take the Yetzirah that's within us, to channel that force and to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with it. And with that, we should be zoche to a wonderful Shavuos, a Shavuos that we could all be mekabel the Torah, a Shavuos that we could rededicate ourselves to serve Hashem with every aspect of our existence. We could sleep L'Shem Shamayim so we could learn better. We should eat L'Shem Shamayim so that we have the energy to serve Hashem better. Every aspect of our human, physical existence we could elevate to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I hope HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the good health and the strength to do that. I wish you a good evening. Thank you so much for joining. And a freilichin, kasherin, guten yontif, chag sameach. Be well. Thank you.